Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And hopefully we don't have to wait to get there to get that joy.
Amen.
We want that joy right here on this earth. Amen?
Amen?
I want to say good morning to everyone. And I hope you've come this morning and your level of enthusiasm matches mine that you're excited to hear the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
For those that are visiting with us this morning, in Acts chapter 2, Brother O, if you want to just share with those that are visiting with us, what you are experiencing is referred to by some as New Testament worship. We don't worship according to what's in the Old Testament. We worship what's in the New Testament. And the first worship service that was conducted after Christ had risen and had gone back to heaven, the Bible tells us when they assembled in verse number 42, you have five acts of worship. Verse 42 gives us four of those five. And the Bible says, and they continued
steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
In apostles' doctrine.
And fellowship.
In fellowship.
And in breaking of bread.
In breaking of bread.
And in prayers.
And so now, in our worship service, four things that we must have. We have, they talked about the apostles' doctrine. Amen? So we have doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. So we have to teach from the word of God. Secondly, it talks about fellowship. Fellowship means to share. What we do when we take collection one time, you share with the Lord what God has blessed you with to work with that week. Amen? So we share. We fellowship. We give back to the Lord, so we give to the Lord. We don't tithe in the New Testament. We give offerings to the Lord. And then the Bible says, the breaking of bread, we took the Lord's Supper. We took the Lord's Supper. Our minds ought to reflect back on Christ. I was reading in John's letter where Pilate scores Jesus. Then they put thorns on his head. They put a robe. They made mockery. So our minds can drift back to why we're taking the Lord's Supper, because Jesus gave his life, shed his blood. We break bread every Lord's Day. And then we participated in prayer. Thank the brother for the prayer this morning. We prayed to God. We prayed to God, and we'll see that in the text this morning. So those are four acts of worship. We have to have teaching. We give back to the Lord what the Lord allowed us to earn or receive. Then we take the Lord's Supper, and then we pray. We offer prayer. But also, there's one other thing what we just did in verse number 47. What did the Bible say?
Praising God and having favor with all the people.
Yeah.
And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
So the fifth thing we got to do, we have to praise God. Yeah, we praise God and thank God in song for what God, and we do that without the accompaniment of instruments. We do that because the Bible says, go to Hebrews 13. I don't want to make no assumption here that some may or may not know. We may have some in our audience that are not familiar, that why you don't have instrument, why we don't have a piano, why we don't have a choir, because we are that group that's collected. And the Hebrew writer writing in Hebrews chapter 13, watch what the text says in verse number 15, Brother Oz. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. What does the Bible say?
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Now, notice this here. We are making a sacrifice, but what we are offering is praise to God. He says continuously. Then, oftentimes when you see the word that following something, those are now instructions on how to do what God say do. So he said that, read.
That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
So we allow the fruit from our lips. You know, when you get a fruit is what is produced from the tree. So the fruit is what produced from our lips. We give praise to God in worship. It's not about us. It's about praising God, thanking God for what God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you're with us this morning, I want you to understand this is New Testament worship. We worship according to the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so this morning, I want to preach from a subject, and hopefully those that are note takers, take your, this would be the time I want to take my notes. I want to write this down. I want to understand, because I want you to understand what Jesus said. Jesus said one thing is needful. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said only one thing is needful. We'll find it in the text. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Verse 38.
Now it came to pass.
Well, let me get that with you. Well, no, read it. And we'll go back to it. Go back. Read. Go ahead and read. It came to pass
as they went that he entered into a certain village.
Yeah.
And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Yeah.
And she had a sister called Mary,
yeah,
which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
So now, you got two individuals. You got Martha, and you got Mary. Both of them wanted to see Jesus. Because the Bible tells us in the text, and we'll go back and look at it, that she received Martha. The Bible says, he entered into the first village, and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. Now, Martha got the house. Martha got the house. The Bible says she had a sister they called her Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Read, but
Martha was cumbered about much serving,
yeah,
and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone?
Yeah.
Bid her therefore that she help me.
And Jesus answered and said unto her,
Martha, Martha.
Martha, Martha.
Thou art careful.
Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Horace, Horace. Horace, Horace. Read.
Thou art careful and troubled about many things.
You are careful and troubled about how many things?
Many.
Horace, Horace, you are careful and you are troubled about many things. Read.
But one thing is needful.
But one thing. Not two. Not two. But Horace, Horace, you are careful. You are troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Read.
And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Yeah. One thing is needful. Don't miss this one this morning. Don't miss this one this morning. One thing. One. Is needful. One thing. Jesus said that. Horace, Horace, you're careful and you're troubled about many things. We can allow ourselves to become careful. We'll see in the text what it means. And we can become troubled about many things. But Jesus said, one thing, only one thing is needful. Now we got to understand what needful means. Give me again, Brother Oates. Verse again. Now it came to pass.
As they went, that he entered into a certain village,
yeah,
and a certain woman named Martha,
yeah,
received him into her house.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. So now what we want to do, some people call it, you hear people use the term expository preaching. Yeah, that's a big word. But what we are doing now, we finna expose the text. That's all we're doing. Expository means you bring the light, you clarify. We finna expose the text. And now, just like I said, Horace, Horace, put your name there. Put your name there. Yeah. Martha had the house. Martha had the house. Yeah. Some of us got things. And some of us got plenty of things. And sometimes some of us got too many. Yeah, but Martha had the house, not Mary. Martha had the house. 39 says that she had what?
A sister called Mary.
Yeah.
Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Yeah. So now, let me go back here. Yeah. The Bible says that Martha had a sister named Mary. And then the Bible says, what about Martha?
But Martha was cumbered about much serving.
Martha was cumbered about much serving. Go ahead.
And came to him.
And what she said to Jesus?
Lord.
Lord.
Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to
serve
alone?
Hold on. Jesus, ain't you concerned about me? That my sister then left me to serve all by my lonesome. Yeah. He said, why don't you ask her?
That she help me.
Yeah. Why don't you tell her? You know, sometimes we tell people, tell her. Tell him. You know, when children growing up, they'll say, well, mama, tell him. You know, they go to the person, you know, daddy, make her. But the Bible said, before we look at that, we got to understand that Martha was cumbered. Yeah. We're cumbered. To be overly occupied. What was Martha cumbered about? Y'all tell me, about what? You see in the text? She was cumbered about much serving. Yeah. So sometimes, now, in that text, what that word means about serving is Martha was concerned about the things, you know, the cooking and the cleaning and the domestic duties and taking care of the house. Martha was cumbered. She had become overly occupied about the house. Some of us allow ourselves to become cumbered. Yeah, we're unable to give attention to something else. Yeah. Now, Martha's issue was the house and the serving in the house. Yeah. So I ask you, what are you cumbered about or cumbered with? What is taking your time up, you know, the job, that can take up your time, that you can't give attention to something else, whatever I'm doing takes me, I'm so occupied with whatever it is, that I can't give attention to something else, I'm cumbered. Yeah. I'm cumbered. She was cumbered with, you know, just taking care of the house. Lord, won't you tell my sister? The thing that's important to me is just house. Mm. The thing that's important to me is just house. They ain't important to me that this house be clean. They ain't important to me that we keep this house clean. They ain't important to me that, you know, I keep my car clean. That's important to me. Yeah. You got to keep this house clean. You got to keep this car clean. I got to do that. Yeah. But Jesus gave Martha a response. Jesus said to Martha, I got it below. He said, Martha, Martha. Whenever you kind of read in the text and you see something said twice, the reason for it twice is for emphasis. Like sometimes Jesus would say, verily. Yeah, I want to put some emphasis on that. Or Jesus say, truly. Yeah. Don't want you to miss this. So he wanted to get Martha's attention. He said, Martha, I use myself. I use y'all, you know how y'all are. When I get y'all, I call it y'all name. Y'all swell up. So I say, Horace. Your problem is, Brother Stroud, you are careful and you're troubled by many things. The word careful means being worried and sometimes even afraid about something bad happening. I'll ask my youth first. Youth, what are you worried about? Youth, I'm talking to my youth now. My teenagers, my high school, what are you worried about? Oftentimes, when you're that young, it's about school. School. Yeah, you're worried about school. And oftentimes, it's friends. You know, we feel that we got to have young people, friends are good to have. But don't start worrying about them. Yeah. School, you got to go to school, but you ain't got to worry. Yeah, you got to go to school. If you're going to be in this house, you're going to get up and go to. Yeah. And you ain't going to lay in the bed and play sick too often. Yeah. You know how sometimes, you know, young people, you go out and play the night before, the next morning you can't get up. Oh, yeah, you're going to get up. Or I will get you up. Yeah, I got something to say, rise. You'll get on up. Yeah. But young people, don't be wary about school. But you got to go to school. You need all of the education you can get. Yeah, young, you're going to school. You're going to get education. And you're going to bring home good grades. Now, when I was in school, my mother would tell me, say, I don't care if you make a Q, you better bring home an A in conduct. Because if you can't do nothing else, you can go to school and be what? Y'all know what they used to say. Right then, parents didn't play. Yeah. Now, I may not have the brightest child in the world, but their conduct gonna be good. You can go to school, and they tell you, you can go to school and keep your mouth. You can shut up. Yeah. Don't worry about school. But you gotta go. You gotta go and do the best that you what? Yeah. Do that. And then parents, you gotta understand that sometimes, and understand this about our children. Sometimes we got to understand that our children need help. I think I said it before, I worth saying again, my daughter was young, and my first daughter, and at the time, and sometimes we don't take advantage of what we have here among us. Yeah. Sister Ward, school teacher, Sister Ward. My wife, and I'll say this about me, I ain't say it about you all, but I'll say it about me. My wife got with Sister Ward, and my job was twice a week or once a week? Twice a week. Sister, I said two. So y'all know I ain't lying. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. So it was my job Two times a week, I had to drive over, take Destiny, and Sister Ward would take her, and they were in that back room. I don't know what she did to her. Yeah, she may have killed my daughter and woke her back up. But she went with it. When she went in there, when that sliding door closed, that's it. She stayed with her. She came out. Yeah. And then during that time also, it allowed me and Brother Ward to develop a relationship. Because if your wife is there, you here with me. Let's talk about something. So me and Brother Ward developed fondness of each other. So to this day, Destiny gone and got a this and that, but she may not never know for real who really built her foundation. It wasn't the school system, it was Sister Ward. Yeah. And so then my second child come. Yeah. And then you see she got challenges too. So I say, Sister Stroud, you going to? She said, no, I'm not. I said, but Morgan needs to go over there too. She going. You going to take her. Yeah. You going to take her. Well, you got to do what you got to do. Same thing. I knew the routine. Go in there, Sister Ward said, hey, Brother Stroud. That door closed. She went over there for months, and worked her with foundation. Because see, sometimes, understand this about the school system, sometimes the school system will let your child stay where they are. Yeah, you think they're going to get, and understand this here, sometimes we have children too. Sometimes our children, the type of children, don't nobody really want to work with them. Yeah, you ready for them to get out of the house. You know the teacher don't want them. Yeah, I'm just saying. So sometimes you send them to school, but the school don't care as much. But when you, let me say this to all parents, when you identify that your child have areas of challenges, that's what parents are for. Yeah, that's what parents are for. Yeah, I think me and Stephanie kid sometime about the Peanuts. Am I right, Stephanie? Remember the one that had a dirty blanket? You know, you watch the Peanuts, you had a kid with a dirty blanket, and every time he walk, all that dust behind him. And I tell me and Stephanie with kid, I say, Stephanie, you know why he got that dirty blanket? Because you never see no parents. Because ain't no parent in their right mind would let that boy walk around with no dirty blanket. Boy, put that thing in the washing machine and go take a bath. Yeah. But I'm saying to us, parents, you need to know your children. If they have challenges, that's why God gave them to you and not, that makes sense? Yeah, do what you got to do. Yeah. Young people, get your education all you can. Because nowadays, how much you make is not based on what here is what's, yeah. They pay you based on paper. Yeah, and the more you collect, the more salary you can ask for. You ain't got no, yeah. Get your education. You want to live well? There ain't nothing wrong with you living good, but you got to get the education. Get out of my pocket. I'm going to talk about me in a minute. What about our young adults? What are you worrying about? Is it your career? Is it relationships? Is it your children? Yeah. You got to have a career. You got to work. Paul told him in Thessalonians, if a man don't work, neither should he what? You got to go work. And now you got the wife working, the man working, everybody working. But let me just say this to the wives. Don't neglect what God gave you the responsibility to do, take care of that house. You get all the career you want, but don't stand before the Lord and don't do what God asked you to do. Because God gave you one thing. Yeah. God told him, let me go to 1 Timothy 5. I don't want to just say that. You say, well, Brother Stroud, show me in the Bible where God told me to do that. Yeah, God didn't tell you to go get no job. Ain't nothing wrong with getting no job. Yeah. You want 3 cars and 4 cars and 10 cars. You about to get 3 jobs and 4 jobs and 8 jobs. Yeah. But you got to know what God said. 1 Timothy 5:14.
I will therefore.
Paul said, I will therefore.
That the younger women marry.
First of all, young women get married.
Bear children.
Then bear children.
Guide the house.
It's your responsibility to manage that home. That's what God said. Give no occasion
to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
Don't let people in the world talk about you. You're a Christian and you ain't running, managing the home. That's what God said. So you get all the jobs you want, but don't stand before God and don't do what God say do. Yeah. Yeah. That's what God say do. Yeah. Let me say this while I'm there. You don't, sisters, ain't none of you, can't no man, let me drop this while I'm here. Ain't no man got no business telling you, you got to go get a job. Yeah, I'm talking to the wives now. Because in verse number 8, Brother Oles, while I'm here, number 8.
But if any provide not for his own.
Now he's talking to the man. But if any provide not for his own.
Especially for those of his own house.
Especially for those that are in his own house.
He had denied the faith.
He had denied the faith.
And is worse than an infidel.
And is worse than an infidel, a person who don't believe in God. So it's a man's responsibility to provide for the home. Now, if the wife want to go out and work, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But now let me say this to the brothers. Let me drop this while I'm here. If she going to help you with what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to help her with. Yeah, so I'm supposed to see a vacuum cleaner in your hand when I come over there and visit. Yeah, I'm supposed to see some dishes being bust by you. If she's going to help you with yours, then you help her with. Yeah, that's only being fair. Yeah, it's only being fair. So young people, you got your careers, young adults, I'm talking to now, young adults. Got your careers and you got all that stuff. And then you got children and then you got to raise children. And God knows you got children. Yeah, this ain't nothing new. But you got to allow that you don't become cumbered. Because sometimes some of us will put children before Jesus. Yeah, we become cumbered in relationships. Yeah, I've learned this here. Relationships are going to take care of themselves. They're either going to be bad or they're going to be good. And the problem we find sometimes is that when you have, young people, I'm just dropping this on you. When you have them bad relationships and then you try to get a good relationship, them bad relationship right behind you. Yeah, you can't get rid of them sometimes. And they're going to be there. So make sure that when you start the relationships, they be whole. Middle-aged adults, what are we worried about? Are we worried about retirement? Along with our, now we got grown kids. Yeah. Grown kids. And those kids are having problems. Yeah. Sometimes you ain't having them, but your children having them. And we as parents, we have to understand that my job is to train you to the best of my ability. Now you got to go out there and get it. Yeah. And don't be asking me to go into my retirement because I ain't going. Yeah, I'm letting you know that now. No, you need to build your own retirement. Because one day, Mrs. Stroud is going to be rolling up and then they just going to be me and her. You know what I'm saying? And when kids get stuff that age, when they're young adults, they get stuff that age, you notice something? When they start making money, you don't see them no more. When they ain't working, you see them every day. When they start making theirs, you can't find them. So I'm worried about this. I'm going to answer that. Senior adults, what are you worrying about? Most time with seniors, you start worrying about your health. Your health. You know, I got to go in, and I got to get these test results. And I'm worried about the results. Yeah. And then sometime we get older, and money start getting tight. Yeah. Yeah, brother said fixed income. Yeah, some people call it a midget income. Yeah, It's tight. Yeah. And I can worry about that. I can worry about that. But let me say this here. What cure has God given only to Christians? I'm saying to a Christian now. A member of the Church of Christ in regards to when you worry, you got anxiety. Yeah. Hello, listen to the scripture. Watch what God said. Take your time. Philippians 4 and 6. Y'all don't mind if I take my time, do you? I don't want to rush through it. Is that okay? Okay. Got some amen. I appreciate it.
Be careful for nothing.
Now, understand what the Lord said to my youth, to my young adults, to us as middle-aged adults, and even to our seniors. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippian church, the same word careful is there. The same word Jesus told Martha that she was careful about many things. What Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, don't be careful. Be careful for what?
Nothing.
Don't let nothing worry you. Yeah. I ain't say don't be concerned. I say don't worry. Because worry carries with it always something bad happening. Lord said, don't worry. Well, what's the answer, Lord? But in everything.
By prayer and supplication.
By what?
Prayer and supplication.
Yeah.
With thanksgiving.
Let our what?
Requests be made known unto God.
Now, this is part of the context where sometimes you'll find a definition of a word in the context. The word prayer means a prayer number of requests. That makes sense? Definition right there. What is a prayer? Prayer is a request that we make to who? That's what a prayer is. You got two types. I got something I want. I got something I need. Supply. I need. That's a need. So when I go to God in prayer, and this is only for Christians, you're not a Christian, you're not a member of Church of Christ, you don't have this. You read in the text, but it don't apply to you. Yeah, you got to be a Christian. You got a relationship with God. I'll share that in the Bible. Paul said, and I'm saying to all of us, don't worry. Paul said, don't worry about nothing. What I deal with, Paul, you pray. I let whatever it is going on with me, I let it be made known to God. And I do it with thanksgiving. I thank God for what I already have. And I'm finna lay this on you, Lord. I got this. I got to lay on you. Somebody said, well, then if he don't hear everybody, who does he hear? 1 Peter 3:12. Tell us who he hear. Who he hear. And I'm going to answer this question about this one thing here. But I want to lay this down that we got with Martha. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord
are over the righteous.
Yeah. Over who?
The righteous.
His over who?
The righteous.
Yeah. So if a person ain't righteous, God's eyes are over those that are righteous. And his ears
are open unto their prayers.
And his ears
are open unto their prayers.
But the face of the Lord
is against them that do evil.
If you haven't done that to become righteous, then everything you're doing, Jesus says, is outside of that. God's face is against you. That's why it's so important. We tell people that the most important thing you can do first, and it's in the text, what you need to do. Go back to Luke. So again, we see from the Bible, don't make sake. That those of us, that nothing wrong with being concerned, but don't worry. Worry when I think something bad going to happen. I'm concerned about when I go to the doctor, I'm concerned, but I ain't finna worry about it. Yeah, I ain't going to need no anxiety stuff. I'm going to just give it to Jesus. Instead of take a pill, take a prayer. When you're going to take that pill, take that prayer. Make that prayer. Yeah. Just make that prayer. Yeah. And the last time I checked, Jesus can do far more than any medication can. Amen. She also told us she was troubled. I didn't get to that. Jesus told, not only are you worrying, Martha, about many things, but you're also troubled. Trouble is something that brings agitation to the mind. We got to be careful when you allow stuff to upset you. Yeah. Some of us can't control You let people upset you. Yeah. Sister, I can't upset me. Sister, I can't make me mad. I can get mad. I can get upset. She can't make me. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when we was young, we were a young man, and I married, and Mrs. Child, something happened that night, and I got the next morning, I wanted to argue. First thing, you know, y'all didn't do this, but I did this. I got the next morning, I was ready to argue. I wanted to get up upset. But I smelled bacon. Cash, I smelled bacon. You know how you go to bed, you can't wait to wake up, to pick up that argument. Because you're mad, you're upset. But it's something about bacon and toast. Yeah. And then when you do well, you get some pancakes. And it's just something about, it'll just stop all that stuff. And see, what I learned there, make your point, Rachel. I could go and quote, "Be angry and sin not." But she would live, "Be angry and..." Yeah. See, one thing, we can all say stuff, but can you live it? Can you live it? So I got the next morning, I felt next to me, she wasn't there. I was ready to get started, Brother Old. Went in there. "Good morning, Sister Stroud." She said, "Babe, how many slices of bacon?" You know what I'm saying? "Sister Stroud, what you want me to go do for you the rest of the day?" "Yeah, I know you got some honeydews that's overdue." Amen? I'm just telling us that. And so what are you saying? Martha allowed herself to be troubled. We got to find out there are people, we got people in our family that agitate us. You got family members. Whenever they come around. Yeah. But again, you can't, don't allow them. Don't allow them. Remember, I say this, I teach a class, I tell people, you give a person too much power when you let them make you mad. You got, watch this here. It's just like with the devil. The devil don't have no power until we. So these people, and even on your job. I went to my job the other day and they changed my whole job. You know, put me over people I don't even, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. But like, and I taught a class this week. And so I went to tell the class. I said to them, I said, "You know what?" I said, "Y'all know what done transpired on the job." I said, "Now I can come to this class and I can have an attitude and be sour." I said, "But I ain't gonna let that affect me." See, you got to stop giving people power. Stop letting people make you mad. Stop letting people upset you. Don't give them that much power. Amen. Don't give it to them. So Martha's problem is you letting stuff agitate you. She got agitated because Mary won't come in there and help her. Because that's something you want to do. Mary ain't concerned about that. And sometimes many of us get upset when people don't do what we want to do.
Amen.
Yeah. When people don't live the way we want to live. We get upset with our children because they won't do what we want to do. When they get grown, they grown. But one thing
is needful.
One thing is needful. Read.
"And Mary had chosen that good part,"
yeah,
"which shall not be taken away from her."
Yeah. Help us with this here. This is a blessing. Jesus said, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. Let me say it to all of us. What choices we make in life will determine whether we go to heaven or not. Choices. Jesus said Martha made a good choice. Yeah. Ask yourself, What choices are you making in life? In verse 39, the Bible says Mary was set at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Mary was a single listener to the word of God. Mary was. When you come to worship service, become a single listener. Yeah. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, the Bible said, and heard his word. Let me say this. Hope I can help you. Write these three words down. Check my notes I have. What is really important in your life? That's the question. If I was able to follow you around, if I was a little fly and I was on your shoulder, and I was able to follow you around for a week, I would be able to tell you what's important to you. I would. Just let me be with you for a week. I'll tell you what's important. Thing I've learned about being important. If something is important to you, three things will happen regarding what it is. Three things. If it's important to you. If it's important to you, three things going to happen. Three things going to happen. Number one, if it's important to you, you're going to give it attention. Number one. If it's important to you, you're going to give it attention. Yeah. Number two, if it's important to you, you're going to put in energy. You're going to put forth energy if it's important. If it's also important, number three, you're going to work on it. If it ain't important, it won't get your attention. You won't give it no energy, nor will you work on it. Yeah. The word needful means something that one must have, or something that one must do. Yeah. Martha allowed all that other stuff to cause her to become cumbered. She weary. She troubled. And some of us, I put myself in that group, us, we allow things to become cumbered, we worry, and we become troubled. But Jesus said, one thing is needful. Mary understood the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of God. One thing. So you ask yourself, you take the test yourself and grade yourself. How important is the word of God to you? Because Jesus said one thing is needful. When you look back in 39, Jesus said Mary had chosen the good part. Mary chose to sit down and listen to Jesus. I'm asking us, how important is the word of God to you? How much attention are you giving? How much are you studying resisting Satan? How much are you studying how to understand the Bible? How much attention are you giving to it? Now, everybody got 24 hours in a day. So you ask yourself that question. And when you running through the tapes of your mind and you haven't been studying the word of God like you should, it ain't important to you yet. It ain't important. Other stuff is important, but the word of God ain't important. Because if it is important, three things. I had to learn this myself. Mr. Stroud, we did a self-study on this here. She did that. I asked her today. I said, Sister Stroud, has this become important to me? I said, answer these three questions. Has it gotten my attention? Yes. Am I putting forth in it? Yes. Am I working on it every day? Yes, you are. It's important to me. The thing that's important is the Word of God. Because Jesus said it like this here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's first. That's first. That's first. The most important thing in life ain't my job, ain't my children, ain't my wife. Yeah. But watch this here. When I put the church first, the kingdom of God is the church of Christ. I'll share that. When I put the Lord first, the Lord teaches me how to be a better husband, how for Sister Stroud to be a better wife, how to teach me how to raise my children. But it all starts at the foot of Jesus, the apostles' doctrine. So if I want to be spiritual, and I'll talk about that tonight. If I want to be spiritual, I got to give it attention, I got to give it energy, and I got to work on it. If I'm not doing that, you can tell me all you want. It's important. No, it's not. No, it's not. Like I said, all I need to do, fly on your shoulder for 1 week. 1 week, 24-7. Let me stay with you for 7 days. 24 hours, 7 days. Let me stay with you. Then when I finish, I'll say, Pastor, I'll put down what is important to me. Okay, here, we went here, we went here, we went here, we went here. No, we didn't study that day. We didn't study that day. I picked up the Bible. Somebody called me. I got a cell text, put it down. If it's important to you. Jesus said this. One thing needful. That's it. Jesus said, seek ye first the church, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Let me close. I always like to go back. When I preach from a text, I like to go back from the text and find the gospel in the text. So go back to Luke 24. Now I'm talking to visitors that are here this morning. I'm going to show you where how you become righteous is right there in the text that Peter wrote. It's in the text. But Jesus said this when he said unto them, he said what? Verse 46.
Thus it is written,
uh-huh.
And thus it behooved Christ to suffer,
mm-hmm.
and to rise from the dead the third day.
Yeah, so now, if you're visiting this morning, the one thing that's needful right now is you got to listen to Jesus. Jesus said, it was written that the word behoove means necessary for Christ to suffer. Jesus said it was necessary that I die. However, after I died, I rose up on the third day. Read.
And that repentance and remission of sins
uh-huh.
should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Yeah. So now, what I'm saying, I'm preaching. You got to hear, you just heard the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. You got to believe that message. If you're sitting in the audience today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you haven't obeyed God yet. There's only one church. I'll show you in the text. But you got to repent of your sin, meaning the life you've been living, you got to say, you know what? I don't want to live anymore. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to listen to the Word of God. So you make an about face. You turn. That's repentance. Repentance starts in the mind, which shows itself in your action. And he said, remission of sins should be preached. Remission of sins, initial remission of sins can only happen in water baptism. You are forgiven of sins when you are baptized. I'm going to show you that in the text. Yeah, I got to preach that. And that's why here at Highland Heights, I don't care what we do for a person, all the stuff we do, until they obey the Lord and become a Christian, their prayers can't be heard. They're still in their sin. And Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. That's why it's that important. Let me go back to Peter. Remember Peter said, how do you become righteous? Go to 1 Peter 3. And I'm moving to a close. 1 Peter 3. Because Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Yeah, so you got to see if you read, I talk about manuscript reading. If you just keep reading the letter, he said that in 1 Peter 3:12. But notice what he said in verse 18. For Christ
also had once suffered for sin.
Yeah.
The just for the unjust.
That
he might bring us to God.
Bring us to God. Being put
to death in the flesh.
But
quickened by the Spirit.
See, that's what you got to preach. That's in the text. So when Peter told them, but God is open to the righteous, he also told how the person become righteous. You need to know, if you're in the audience this morning, you need to know that Christ once suffered for your sin. All your sins, Christ did. And the reason he did it was he tried to bring us to God. He had to be put to death in the flesh, but God rose him up again. That's the gospel. That's what we got to preach. But then with Brother Stroud, what do I need to do? It's still right there in the text, verse 21. We're starting at verse 20.
Which sometime were disobedient.
Yeah.
When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
While the ark was a preparing.
Uh-huh.
Wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
Now watch this here. The Bible says that at one time you were disobedient. Right now, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, you are disobedient. Ain't nothing wrong with being disobedient. You just got to become obedient. He said we sometimes were disobedient. He's talking about those doing in Genesis days, Noah's time. Noah was preaching to them. And Noah was telling them, y'all need to come inside this ark. Y'all need to come inside this boat. And so I'm telling everybody here this morning that's not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to come on inside. And you do what the Lord said, come on inside. I'm your Noah this morning. I'm telling you, you need to come inside. And I'm letting you also know that the only way you're going to be saved is by water. You're going to be saved by water. This morning, you got to get in the water. Why get in the water? He said, a like figure talking about water, whereunto even
baptism
does do it what?
Now save us.
Now save us. Right now. You want to be saved right now, you got to be baptized. Now, you can sit here and, well, I got to think about it a little bit more. No, you may die before you get another time. And I also understand this here. Let me drop this here, too. The easiest thing not to do to say no to is the first time. After that, it can become easier and easier and easier. Yeah. So what I'm saying to you in the audience this morning, if you're not a Christian, you got that opportunity now. Don't say no, because the devil will give you reasons every time after this to say no. I'm saying to you now, Christ suffered on the cross. He died for your sins, my sins. You got to stop being disobedient, be obedient. You got to be baptized. Water. Peter said, now save us. Right now, you get in that water. By faith, the blood of Christ is in that water. The blood of Christ is in that water. Yeah. And so it's the blood that cleanses you of all your sin. Jesus said in the blood on the cross. Yeah. They pierced him in the side. Out came both blood and... So you need those two elements to become a Christian. You need the water we got. By faith, the blood is in there. You got to be baptized. And then when you're baptized, I'm closing. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's only one church Jesus paid for with his blood. There's only one church. You can only be saved in that one church. When you're water baptized, the Lord, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the church that belongs to Jesus. The church don't belong to no man, don't belong to no club, don't belong to no life, don't belong to no experience. The church belongs to Christ. And the only reason we refer to it as the Church of Christ in Highland Heights, it tells the location of where the church is. So if there's anyone today, I hope this morning I've done for you what the Word of God has done for me. There's only one thing that's needful. Yeah. Some you must have, some you must do. The Word of God, as it was Mary. Mary said, you call me sorry, call me lazy, call me whatever you want. It's time to sit down at the feet of Jesus. And I'm saying to all of us, If you are not doing that, as I learn better, that's it. That's where it's at. Don't matter what I've been doing. But book talk last week, whatever you've been doing in the past is a past experience. What's important now is what you do in the present. If there's anyone today who'd like to respond to God's message, I thank you for your patience this morning. Let us stand if we hear a verse over him. Thank